The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus said something a bit unusual. If you look at the text carefully, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, it's here already, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Notice the positioning of the words, that first they're dead, then they hear, and then they live. It's the dead, the deceased, who shall hear the voice of Jesus Christ, and upon hearing that voice, they shall live. Now, of whom was Christ referring to when he said the dead? Well, Ephesians 2:1, Apostle Paul writes, "And you, the believer, hath he, the Lord, quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we may ask the question, how can the dead hear anything? How can the dead see anything? How can the dead respond to anything? Well, not only can the dead in sin and trespasses hear, not only can those who are dead in sin and trespasses see, not only can they respond, they are commanded to by God. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 18, here is the command of Almighty God, "Hear, you deaf, and look, ye blind, why? That you may see." Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and by that he means those that are separated from God by their sin. As the Apostle Paul said, he wrote to Timothy about the young women, he said, those who live in pleasure, who live for themselves, whose God is their belly, they are dead while they live, separated from God. Command, hear, you that are deaf. Now it would be foolish for us to go to a deaf person and say, "Hear me," or to a blind person, "See me." But God has the right to say that. You see, the dead can hear and see and respond for two important reasons. Number one, it is only by the voice of God, which can be delivered by way of command, or invitation, or instruction. It's God that said, "Hear, ye deaf." It's God that says, "Look, you blind, that you can see." The dead shall hear what? The voice of the Son of God. That's the first reason. The voice of the Lord Jesus, the voice of God, is that powerful. The second reason is, and these go together, those who are dead in sin and trespasses are not as dead as you might think or are led to believe. Some people in the church use the analogy that a sinner is so dead they can't think, they can't believe, they can't respond. Okay? Well, they can to the voice of God. They're not as dead as you think, because they have a God-given ability to hear Him, and only Him. That's why He is the one who commands them to hear and to see. Let me take you through a few examples in the Bible. This one is of a physical death. Lazarus was not dead in trespasses and sin because he was a believer, but he was physically dead. His body was beginning to rot. And Jesus was invited to the tomb by his sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus told them to roll away the stone. And then Jesus spoke. He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, if I was there and I cried, Lazarus, come forth, you'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. If the whole church of God stood before that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, we'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. He came forth because he heard the voice of Christ in that command, Lazarus, come forth. It was his voice, the voice of Christ. It is only his word, his voice, that brings life. And secondly, Lazarus was not as dead as his friends and family thought he was. In John chapter 11 again, Jesus on the way to Bethany, he said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. They misunderstood what Christ was speaking of. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And you might think, well, if Lazarus was just sleeping, doesn't that diminish the power of God's voice? Absolutely not, because the sleep that Lazarus was sleeping was the sleep of death. He was dead. Jesus said plainly, he's dead, but he's sleeping. Why? Because the soul never dies. No one is ever that dead. Lazarus was sleeping the sleep of death. And for that reason, he could only hear the voice of his creator, of his savior. Let me take you to another example in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Now here was a man, the rich man, who was not only dead physically, but he was dead in trespasses and sin for all eternity. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, this is not a parable, because Jesus said there was a certain man, a beggar named Lazarus. That's not a parable. This is a true story. It probably happened thousands of times. Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 24, it came to pass that the beggar died, that's Lazarus, a different Lazarus than John 11. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, in Sheol, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Wow, how dead was he? If you just looked at his body, he was dead. But if you look through scripture, no, he had a soul. He was alive. Very much alive. In hell he lifted up his eyes. What, being in torments? And he sees Abraham afar off. He's got pretty good sight. And Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried. This dead man cried. And said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. He felt pain. The dead can speak. The dead can think. This man dead in his trespasses and sin felt pain. He could see paradise. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. In other words, the rich man, he lived for pleasure. He lived for his own comforts. His God was his belly. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you, from here to you, cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence where you are. He heard the voice of Abraham, who was speaking the truth. And then the rich man, now forever poor man, said, I pray thee. Yes, the dead can pray. There are people going to churches who are dead in trespasses and sins, and oh, they pray. And they pray. And they beseech God for a lot of material blessings. But this man, he prayed, and he said, Father, that you would send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren. He felt compassion. He had concern. This dead man had concern for his family, his brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Yes, Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, was a believer, and he was dead in the grave, but not so dead that he couldn't hear the voice of Jesus Christ. The rich man of Luke 16, he was dead in trespasses and sin, and he too was dead in the grave. But friends, there are others recorded in the scripture. Walking around on 2 feet, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and yet could hear the voice of God. Take you back to the first of God's human creations, Adam and Eve. They were told not to partake, not to eat or touch that forbidden fruit. Eve did first. She gave to her husband. They did eat. And at that moment, they died. They were dead in transgressions and sin. Their spiritual life was gone. Subsequently, they would be chased out of the Garden of Eden. And the eyes of them both were opened after they partook of that forbidden fruit. And they knew that they were naked. Now shame came upon them. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what did these two big-time sinners, original sinners, do when they heard the voice of the Lord? They do what most people do. They went and they hid themselves. They went and hid themselves from the voice of God. You might say, I thought only God's sheep could hear his voice. Well, that's not true. It's a misunderstanding. You see, the sheep of the Lord, they hear his voice and they follow him. They don't hide from his will. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. He knows who his sheep are. The Lord knows who his are. And I know them and they follow me. The word and is a conjunction. It means in addition to. That's all it means. Two and two is four. And they follow me. Yes, they hear my voice. And then in addition to hearing my voice, they follow me. Pastor John Piper said, every word of the Bible is the voice of Jesus. Mike brought that out this morning in Bible study. The Word of God, the Bible, is the voice of God. It's the voice of Jesus. And so whenever people come across a Bible verse or are in a testimony, hear the Word of God, they are hearing the voice of He who would be their Savior. Every word of the Bible, even those which God Himself did not speak, it's the voice of Jesus, the voice of truth. I take you to Matthew chapter 7. Again, to show you, it's not only those who hear the voice of God that are his sheep, but those who hear the word of the Lord and follow him and obey him, these are his sheep. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever hears the voice of God and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings, everyone that hears my voice, what? Everyone that hears the voice of God builds his life on the rock, Jesus Christ? No. They hide from the truth. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine, said Jesus. And he's saying, build your life on the rock. And they do not do them. And means, I hear your voice, and in addition to that, I disobey. I will not build my life on the rock. He's like a foolish man, said Jesus, which built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yes, my sheep, he knows his sheep. The Lord knows those that are his, but let every man depart from iniquity, the Bible says, so that you can know you're his sheep. That is to follow him. That is to obey him. That is to love him. Not everyone who hears the voice of Jesus is one of his sheep. Again, in Revelation 3:20, the door of Laodicea. Again, it's not the brothel or the casino he's knocking on, it's the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and in addition to that, opens the door, yield your life to me, surrender to me, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So what is God attempting to teach us just through these three examples here? A few of Matthew 7, Revelation 3:20, as James tells us, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. James is saying there are those who hear the word of God, but they don't do it, and therefore they deceive themselves. Oh, I heard the voice of God, I must be a believer. No, you could be building your life on the sand. You could have the door shut and Christ on the outside of your life, as the Laodiceans were. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The human race, like Adam and Eve, hide themselves from the voice of God when they hear it quite plainly. And let me tell you this, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, they do more than just hear the voice of God. Number one, the dead in sin can know God. They can know God according to the scriptures in a very real way. Not in the deepest way, but in a very real way. The vilest sinner can know God according to what we read in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress what? The truth. They hear the truth and they suppress it. They hear the truth and, like Adam and Eve, they hide themselves from it. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness or ungodly deeds. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. What? The unregenerate person. God has manifested some of his truth that enables them to know him. He invests it, manifests it in those who are dead in sin and in trespasses. For God hath showed it unto them. He's revealed himself unto them. How? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world art, notice, clearly seen. The truth is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, created, even his, what, eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they, what, knew God. The Apostle Paul says, these of whom Paul is writing, dead in trespasses and sins, that when they knew God through creation, they glorified him not as God. They suppressed that truth. They hid from that truth. They don't want to think about that. They hide their thoughts from that truth. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. A.W. Tozer wrote this. One of the great realities with which we have to deal is the voice of God in the world. The briefest and only satisfying cosmogony, that means the study of the origin of the universe. I had to look it up, okay? Cosmogony, the study of the origin of the universe is this. He spake, God spoke, and it was done. The why of natural law is the living voice of God. indwelling in his creation, and this word of God which brought all worlds into being cannot be understood to mean the Bible, for it is not a written or printed word at all, but the expression of the will of God spoken into the structure of all things, of creation. The word of God is the breath of God filling the world with living potentiality. The voice of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Indeed, the only force in nature. For all energy is here only because the power-filled word is being spoken. And so those who are dead in trespasses and sin, when they look at a flower growing, when they look at a rainbow, when they look at animals, God is speaking to them. He is speaking to them. This is what David tells us in Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, notice, they pour forth what? Speech. The heavens speak. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. In every nation, every tongue, every tribe, the voice of the universe is heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their voice, the voice of the universe, of nature, of creation. Their words to the ends of the world. Not only does nature, creation, speak, it sings. Remember that old hymn, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." This is my Father's world. You know that physicists claim the universe is in a constant state of vibratory motion. All you have to do is read the Bible, and you'll know what it is that's vibrating the universe. And when we know from the Bible that the Word of God brought the universe into being, but the Bible also tells us that God is preserving the universe by his Word. Hebrews 1:3, who, Jesus Christ, being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding or preserving all things by the power of his Word. Physicists say, yes, there's this constant vibration in the universe. Yes, it's the voice of God. God wants those who were dead in sin and trespasses to hear his voice in the trees, in the forests, in the birds singing. He wants them to know him, and they do know him, says the Apostle Paul. He wants them to know that they have a creator, that they were made in his image, but they suppress the truth. God wants those who are dead in trespasses and sins to obey him, to keep his word, not in a legalistic way, but out of love for him who first loved us. Listen to God in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 27 through 29. The people say to Moses, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear and do it." So many times the Israelites heard the word of God. And now they say to Moses, "Go to the Lord and say, we will hear and we will do it." And the Lord heard the voice of your words, said Moses, "when you spoke unto me." And the Lord said unto me, "I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken." But now notice God's response. Notice God's reaction. "Oh, that there were such a heart in them." See, they have words, but no heart. "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, all my words always, that it might be well with them, with their children forever." Jesus reiterated that in the New Testament, Matthew 15:8. The people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God said, oh, that they really would have a heart. To what? Not just hear me, but to obey. So yes, the dead in Christ, the dead in sin, that is, can hear. The dead can see. When Christ calls them, when Christ reveals himself, whether it be in nature or through his word. Number two, the dead in sin, those who are separated from God, have a conscience. You could probably go into any prison, and unless that person's on death row and their conscience has become like a stone, those prisoners, they know what's right and wrong. They know why they're in jail. They know they've broken the law. They have a conscience. The conscience is sensitivity towards right and wrong, even sensitivity to the will of God. It's our sixth sense, our conscience. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins have a conscience. The Pharisees were dead in trespasses and sins. John chapter 8, they brought a woman to Jesus who they caught committing adultery. And they wanted to stone this woman, so they continued asking him. He lifted himself up and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, again, it was the voice of Christ, ministered to their conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. Christ didn't create a conscience in them. They had one. But it was hard. It was very hard. And beginning at the eldest, convicted by their own conscience, they dropped their stones. You might ask, didn't their conscience bother them before? Probably not very much. For they brought this woman to test Jesus Christ. And if Jesus did not speak, they would have stoned her, no doubt. You know what happened when Jesus spoke those words, you that are without sin. It was the truth he spoke to them. And guess what? For a moment, their consciences became pure. Their consciences were revived. Life came into them temporarily. Titus, we read, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, that's the Pharisees, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. But for a moment, those corrupted minds, those legalistic minds, fault-finding minds, God-resisting minds, those God-resisting consciences were revived. They were purged for a moment. And what did they do after that? As most of the Pharisees, they went and hid themselves like Adam and Eve from the voice of God, from the voice of Christ. They should have not just dropped their stones and left. They should have thrown themselves down at his feet, say, Lord, heal my conscience. Because I don't care for you. I don't care for this woman. But they didn't. They hid themselves. Or like Jonah, who heard the voice of the Lord go to Nineveh, he fled in the other direction. Hell will swell with those who have heard the voice of God and hide from it. And there'll be many from the churches there with that rich man in torment, who were doers, not doers of the word, and hearers only. David says in Psalm 106, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them, Israel? Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word. And as they heard the word of God over and over again, and they did not believe it, but complained in their tents, and did not heed the voice of the Lord. I hear you, God, but I don't heed it. I've heard you, Lord. I'm not going to listen and obey you. Therefore, he raised up his hand and an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Remember the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar? In Luke 16, Abraham said to the rich man, who wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brethren. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. Again, that's the voice of God speaking to this man. He hears the voice of Abraham, God speaking through Abraham. And what does he say? No. No, Father Abraham. So you can call God your father. You can call Jesus your brother. You can call him your savior. But if you keep saying no to his will, you'll be found out to be a hypocrite. This is why the rich man was in hell. Not because he was rich. Not because he had some comforts. God forbid we should get rid of our comforts. We'll take off the cushions and put nails and tacks on the seats. And we'll see how long we sit here and listen to the word of God. He was in hell because he always said no to God. When he drove by Lazarus, God would say to him, feed that man, comfort that man, bring him into your house. No, God, no. And even in hell he's saying it. No, no, Father Abraham. You're wrong, I'm right. That's why he's there. But Jesus said this, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you Pharisees do not hear them is that you are not of God. Yes, he said that, but we want to take that into context. What did he mean when he said, you do not hear because you're not of God? If we go back a couple of verses to verse 45, because I tell you the truth, in other words, you hear, don't you? All Christ spoke was the truth. You hear the truth, but you do not believe me. And then a few verses later, he said, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, if a man keep my words, he shall never see death. So when Jesus said, you're not of God because you don't hear me, he's saying, yeah, you heard my preaching all right. You heard the voice of God Almighty, but you don't believe it, and you don't keep his word. That's what Christ was saying. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Well, that doesn't make sense. Seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. In other words, you will hear my voice, but you will not hear. You will not understand. Seeing you shall see, but you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, it's grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Hearing, they don't hear. Seeing, they don't see. Another example is in Luke chapter 11. It came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But Jesus said, blessed rather. He's taking, in a sense, the glory off Mary, where too many believers put glory and fame and veneration, some even worship. He's taking all that spotlight off Mary, and he says, blessed rather are they that hear the word of God and keep or obey it. That conjunction, and in addition to. Not just hearing the word of God. The sheep are not just those who hear his voice. Because every line in the Bible is the voice of God. But those who keep it, those who obey it. Yes, the Pharisees had a conscience. They were dead as anyone else, maybe more dead in sin and trespasses than all. Because they were the bunch of hypocrites, snakes and vipers. And yet they had a conscience. And as John Bunyan said, conscience will be their slaughter shop of anyone. He wrote a poem called, part of this is a very long poem of hell and the estate of those that perish. O conscience is the slaughter shop. There hangs the axe and knife. 'Tis there the worm makes all things hot. and wearies out the life. Here then is execution done on body and on soul, for conscience will be bribed of none, but gives to all their dole. So for eternity, those Pharisees that heard the word of God but did not keep it, their conscience will be their slaughter shop. Number three, the dead in sin can reason with God by invitation only. That's right, friends. Heaven is by invitation only. Being born again is by invitation only. The dead in sin and in trespasses can reason with God. According to Isaiah chapter 1, 18 through 20, God speaking to unregenerated Israel, backslidden Israel, idolatrous Israel. Come now, invitation, the voice of God. They weren't going to reason with God unless he invited them. We love him only because he first loved us. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient. In other words, if you accept my invitation, I'm drawing you with the cords of love. Don't hide from my voice. Don't hide yourself from my invitation. Don't hide yourself from my commands. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For what? The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Reasoning with God. Abraham reasoned with God over Sodom. Moses reasoned with God over Israelite. It means to bring your case before God and to seek mercy, as is recorded here in Isaiah chapter 43. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend and let us reason together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Friends, we only have one case to bring before God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Have mercy upon me. Yes, the righteous Pharisee who prayed thus with himself, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm not like other men. He did not go home justified, but that tax collector who said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be. What? If you reason, if you plead your case. But part of that case is not just, I'm a miserable sinner, but God, you love me. God, you sent your son for me so I wouldn't have to perish. That's part of our case. Number four, the dead in sin and trespasses can have faith. Remember the story of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And with faith in that, she came to the hem of his garment. She did not come to hear Jesus preach. She did not come to be made one of his disciples. She came for one purpose only, like many are coming. They have faith to pray for their healing. They have faith to pray for their business so it doesn't fail. They have faith to pray, you know, for their automobile, that it keeps running. They have faith to pray for their animals, their pets. That's faith. It's not saving faith. This woman had faith. But see, what God wanted her to remember was what that fringe on the garment was all about. Going back to Numbers 15. It shall be unto you this fringe that he commanded Moses to put on the garments, this fringe and this ribbon of blue. It shall be for you a fringe that ye may look upon and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. And so this woman, she was just seeking after her own heart. And she was actually touching the hem of his garment where that fringe was, and not seeing the word of God, but yet God, Christ, was speaking to her through the miracle. God speaks to sinful mankind through creation. He speaks through his miracles. Again, she did not hear him preach. That's not what she wanted. But she heard his sermon through the miracle that I am Almighty God, that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. After this woman got her healing, what did she do? She did what Adam and Eve did. She tried to hide herself. She touched the hem of his garment. Immediately, her hemorrhaging stopped. And the Bible says, she went away. And when Jesus said, who touched me? She knew she could not be hid. She tried to hide herself from the voice of Christ in that miracle. I've got what I wanted. Friends, what you want is salvation. What you want is a holy life. What you want is a godly mind. What you want is the mind of Christ. What you want is a soul full of love. And if we come for other things than that, we may have faith that God will heal your dog or your cat, but you're not going to get to heaven. Like Adam and Eve, she hid herself, but Jesus called her back. And she came back. And this time, she didn't come behind him, just bending down to touch him with his garment. She came in front of him and threw herself on her face and confessed everything to him. And then he said, daughter. He called her daughter. And before that was, who are you? Who touched me? Now it's daughter. Because she came back, as many in the church do. Need to come back. And this command that God gave through Isaiah, hear ye deaf, and look so that you might see, you blind, it's also for the church of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Ephesians, wherefore he saith, again it's the voice of our Creator that speaks, awake thou that sleepest, for sleep is death. This death is sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. David prayed for revival. Quicken me according to thy word. Romans 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, O Christian. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. And I have to say this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are not casting off the works of darkness, you hear the voice of God and you do not keep his word. You hear his word, but you do not keep it. You're a hearer of the word of God and not a doer. You are to cast off the works of darkness, all pride, all greed, all lust, all selfishness. We are to be in the process of casting off the works of darkness. And that's what he meant when he said, awake out of sleep. Because that is death. I'd like you to stand. We'll sing a song in closing. And then we'll have communion. Okay? And this song is Jesus Calls Us. Saying, Christian, follow me. The call, the voice, is to the church first. He calls the church to follow him. He calls the believers to be holy. He calls those who are born again to set their affection on things above, not on the things below. Do we hear his voice? Yes, we hear the voice every time we read scripture. But do we heed it? Do we obey? Jesus calls us. And then we will remember the Lord's suffering and death by way of the Lord's Supper. Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives, wild, restless seed. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me.
Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior made, we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Savior, may we hear thy call and give our hearts, that's opening the door, to thy obedience. And if you hear the word of God, but aren't a doer of the word, you deceive yourself. Oh, that we would be hearers and doers. We can't be doers unless we hear. First we have to hear, then we can do. All right, thank you. You can step down. We're going to remember the Lord's suffering now. And it's very appropriate. You can be seated now. Luke and Elder, you can sit down now. When Paul discusses this particular sacrament in remembering him, he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Spiritual sickness and sleep, which is death. Awake unto righteousness, the apostle says, and sin not. By righteousness, not the imputed righteousness of Christ, but to righteous living. That's what he means by that. Let us not partake of this in an unworthy way. It's not the way you hold the cup, or the way that you put it to your lips, or whether you chew loudly or quietly. That's how some people think it is. It means, Lord, by your grace, I am going to cast off all the works of darkness. If you haven't started doing that as a believer, do it. Start today, casting off the works of darkness. All your pride, all your selfish ambition, all your lust of the flesh, all of that, all the bickering, cast it away. Start today. That we might truly be his disciples. My sheep hear my voice. I know who they are. And they follow me. They follow me. They obey me. They keep my word. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and he passed it among his disciples. Thank you.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took this unleavened bread, which represents sinless life. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance of him. And after the same manner also, Jesus took the cup. He passed it among his disciples. If you need forgiveness of sin, look to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you're looking for need of power to resist temptation, pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. But don't just pray. The Bible says, put on the armor of God, that you can stand against all the wiles of the devil. Yes. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Take and drink in remembrance of him. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Do this in remembrance of him. And that means all that he taught, all that he spoke, his voice. And again, his voice sounded through the Apostle Paul, as I read earlier, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, the day of his coming. Let us therefore, who are believers, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. What is the sleep we are to awaken out of? Failure to cast off the works of darkness. Failure to put on the whole armor of God. Father, have mercy upon us. We live in a world so vile, so unclean. And you tell us we have to keep our garments spotless. We can do that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But Lord, we have to awaken out of that sleep. Because when we are sleeping, we are vulnerable. We are really dead. And Lord, may the dead have heard your voice and live. As Jesus said, the time is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing they shall live. Yes, Lord, we are called unto life. We are called unto holiness. We are called to be like Jesus Christ. We are called to be clad in armor. We are called to be righteous. Awake unto righteousness. We are called, Lord, to repentance of sin. Oh, may we hear that call. And not only hear it, Lord, but obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.